It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where over the past 6.5 years, I've had a variety of guests. I have Stephen Tuwig joining me again today. And we are going to be talking about the benefits of a mental cleanse. And this is actually part 4. So please go back and find parts 1, 2, and 3, because they build on one another. It's not, you know, a single show that's going to be able to tell you how to do everything. So please go find parts 1, 2, and 3. Listen to those first and then, you know, experience part 4, because that will kind of wrap a bow in my mind around all of it for you. Also, if you're finding those other shows, you go to synergyconnectionradio.com. There are 34 pages now of shows that are there. And you're going to have to do some scrolling. I think there's 12 to a page. But Stephen's been with me over the last maybe 1.5 to 2 years now. And so you don't have to go back to the beginning. Just kind of go back to maybe 2023 and look in that group of shows, and you'll see his first show there. And it normally they're about every 4 or 5 months. So I think you'll, you know, be able to discover where his shows are. Also on that page, on the website, you're going to see a link into Boomers Forever Young. And I've always said that they sponsor the show. They have a wide variety, I guess I would say, of products that will help you get healthy. Excuse me. They're talking about basically looking at de-aging rather than continuing to age. And I think that's something that a lot of people are doing. I've had a variety of guests recently on my show that talk about this concept, but we don't have to get older unless we choose to get older. That's in our minds as well as in our bodies. And for a lot of people after the age of 65, you know, they kind of think, well, been there, done that. I don't have anything else to look forward to. You should be growing every single day. Learn something new. And don't ever stop, you know, even on your deathbed. I'm hoping that for me, I'll be going, oh my goodness, now I get it all, you know, as you make that transition. So learn something special, you know, whether it's about nature, yourself, history, just learn something every single day. Of the products that Boomers has, one of their newest ones, and I've mentioned it a lot lately, is Myotrol, and it's M-Y-O-T-R-O-L. And Myotrol was invented by Eric Kurtz. He has a number of patents in the area of medicine. And this is not a prescription. This is a combination of liquids, I would say. It's different vitamins that are in a capsule form. I've been using it for a little over a year. It definitely builds stamina and it builds strength. And I used to take my 9 and 10 hour days. You know, I was tired by the end of them. Now, not so much. You know, I'm able to kind of hang in there and still feel pretty energetic at 9 and 10 o'clock at night. So I would encourage you to read about it, watch some of the videos, look at some of the questions and answers. It's on their website. So Boomers Forever Young is the link that you go into. Boomerboost.com is their website. So BOOMERBOOST.com. If you decide to order something, please use my first name for a 15% discount. It will automatically be applied. So it's L-U-C-Y in the discount code box. Welcome back, Stephen.
Welcome. Thanks, Lucy. Thank you very much. How are you today?
I'm good. So I've mentioned that you are the founder of Mastering Change. And you and I were chatting just before we started recording. And you're now a 501c?
Yep.
Corporation?
Yep. We have the holding is called the Evolving Mind Project. So EMP, go to evolvingmindproject.org. It will take you into a group that is to depth work communities. So different various forms. We do shadow work, we do breath work, we do, right now we currently have 9 different integration groups that we support, and that really to support the evolution of our collective consciousness is the whole goal. We do the live events, the mental cleanse, that stuff is all tied now into the 501c3, and will eventually the 501c3 will overtake, and I'm handing it all off because it's this stuff is it works, and it should grow, and we're going to put it in the soil, and like I was telling you, a location is right around the corner. We're going to start to take this work into a deeper layer to see what happens. We're really it's sometimes hard to see or hard to explain the amount of change that a person can do if they dive down underneath the surface of their thought for any length of time. I mean, the farther down you go, the deeper the change, because the pivot point is farther down. So I'm looking forward to continuing my work and taking it to the next level. And there's a whole community of people now, so it reaches past my fingertips. The goal is for us to be nationwide and to have centers all over the United States where people wanted to go in and tune, recalibrate the meaning that they're operating out of. They can recalibrate it with somebody that's trained to understand the structure of thought that they're operating out of. So it's just a different way of looking at healthcare, mental health, than waiting for something. That's what the mental cleanse is all about. It's not just about improving. I find myself being negative all day long. I find myself snapping all day long. I find myself depressed. It's not just about that. This is my, actually, I'm on the fourth week. Interestingly enough, Lucy, I'm finishing the fourth week of the cleanse. What's today? Thursday? Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, will be my last day. And this is my 23rd or 24th time through. And each time through with the mental cleanse, because of the way it's structured, it improves. Again, you don't have to pay anything to do this. If you go back and listen to just go back and listen to these podcasts, and I laid it all out, and I'll give you a brief view again. You don't need the app. We have an app support. We have integration support, because if you're going to dive into the dark, it's good to have somebody holding the flashlight for you. But you don't need a guide. You don't need an app. You don't need this podcast. You don't need any of that. It's this 4-step process. The first week we spend, which is really understanding, getting the insight necessary. You can't have any innovation without insight. Innovation without insight is a waste of resources. Like, if I don't know what I'm changing, how will I know what to change? So the first week is really getting clear on what's really going on underneath the water. And we give you a mantra. Isn't that interesting? Where you can start to look at and you start to uncover. The apps help support you, and the groups will support you. And this podcast will go back and watch week one, that kind of thing will support you. And really getting underneath, what are the things that I tell myself that I've forgotten I've told myself? And once I start to hear myself saying that, well, then I go on to week two. Well, what else could this mean? And I allow my mind to do what my mind is built to do, which is to change. The mind is built for transformation. It's built to change. It's just that we've not been taught how the mind is communicating with us. So, the mind, you call it first awareness, second awareness, we're programmed to be without. I'm programmed to think, if I can get Lucy to love me, then I will be enough. Enter relationship here. If I get that car, I will be enough. I get that job, I make just enough money. Like, there's the take it any way you want to take it, any relationship with person, place, thing, event, other. We have this belief system. We've been programmed to come from without. Secondary focus is external. Our first awareness is external. Second awareness is internal. We're told to not cry. We're told to suck it up. We're told to not pay attention to what's going on in here. And then we're trained that if we pay attention to what goes on in here first, well, now we're narcissists and now we're selfish. Well, I believe that that's just the opposite. That because there's this misorientation, I call it a twist, where we are now first person external, second awareness internal. Then when I have a I'm not good enough from, was working with somebody this weekend who has been projecting their divine feminine, divine masculine, we call that mother or father, onto the external world. This guy's been projecting his mom wound his whole life on every woman he's been into contact with and saying, if I could save her, then maybe my mom will be okay. But the problem is then that means that he's only going to find himself around women who are broken. He's only going to be project, and then women are not broken are going to feel this uncomfortableness with him because he's somehow calling them. They call it creepy. He's calling them to be broken. Like he's like wants me to have a problem, but we don't know that relationship. We don't know that there's more going on underneath the surface of our thought. It's just we get this feeling. Well, we dive down underneath there. And once you dive down underneath there, once you see this, you can't unsee it. So we go, what else could this mean? Now we know where the holding on, we can let go. That's week two. We start to shift the thought at the deeper layer. And the deeper we can go, I've been through this 24 times, and each layer I seem to get a little deeper, a little deeper. We get different insights. This to give you an example, Lucy. So when you first go through it, you'll probably go through it. If you're listening, you'll probably go through it because maybe you're tired of being unhappy, or maybe you want a little more joy, or maybe you found yourself caught in a loop with somebody, or maybe you just came through a Tony Robbins event or a plant medicine, phenomenal for plant medicine integration, and you need some support in integrating this new awareness. You go in and you start to take this course, and you realize, oh, I'm telling myself I'm stupid. I'm not here. They're not telling me I'm stupid. I'm putting myself in a position so that I can feel stupid. Oh, I'm feeling st oh, and now that we can hear it, you go into week two, and you kind of get rid of that feeling of being stupid. You no longer walk. What if you no longer had to walk around? Like, what's the thing that you tell yourself that steals your joy? Yeah, what if you didn't have to walk around with that anymore? That kind of thing, right? That you go through that, and then as you continue to come through as a cleanser, it's like it's important because the brain is like a sponge, and we're in a world that programs us to be survival rooted, external, consumer driven, maintenance oriented, human doings, not human beings. And we need to stop and become self-centered, aware. And I say self-centered, not self-centered, centered self. Let's just flip it, right? A centered self that is aware that I can only experience my reality through the eyes that are Stephen. And once I know that, then I can see that I'm holding on to these feelings of not enough. And when I let go of the feeling of not enough, the brilliance that is my mind, the genius, there's this genius that's trying to poke through Lucy that can only come through Lucy, can finally come out. And so it's like, oh, isn't that interesting? We see where we're holding on, we let go. And now all of a sudden it starts to float to a higher frequency. And then we go into week three, which is called the beautiful state. Tony Robbins taught me this working for him. He every year we'd have to take a beautiful state training as a company. It was required 2-day course we had to sit through all day long. You had to sit through this beautiful state training where he would just really start to orient us into a deeper way. And really, once you've let go of that, I'm stupid. Now just sit here for a while, knowing that you're not stupid. And anytime you start to feel stupid, just let it go. And we start to understand that we are the primary creative force in our reality just through that week three. Well, week four is about purging and cultivating. So now that I've created this new understanding and orientation to my reality, I need to orient. I need to continue now to cultivate, purge anything that puts me in that old state, and cultivate and experience now a life from this new identity so that I don't lose my orientation to it. Because it's a lot of most people don't change too much. And the reason why they don't change is because the mind is wired to make meaning. And it makes that meaning once it's made up its mind. It doesn't want to go back and remake that mind because, new thought is more expensive in the mind than old thought. And recalibrating old thought is older than new thought because now you have to pull up the old thought. You have to rip up the carpet. You have to rip up the floor. You have to tear. And the mind doesn't want to do that. It just wants to go to, well, here's the thing that you need that will help you survive. And we're not in a survival rooted war. We've got to go deeper. So this is the calling to that. So again, here I am 24 times through. And so then I'm the first time through, it's my first week, it was about orienting myself to my living inquiry. So you come to go to masteringchange.com, you're going to get the opportunity to sit through Living Consciously, which is the course I'm doing tonight at Thursday. But it's about not about going and looking at the wound. It's about how do I consciously create my reality. And so one of my living inquiries is to, as I'm speaking to you now, I have to orient. The exercise is a long form depth work practice where I orient from the perspective that I am right now in a sacred moment, and I am having an interaction with the divine right now in this moment. in this time. And so I start to slow down and I start to orient from, well, what if Lucy is God and I'm talking to divinity right now? Can I see the divinity in you, and can I interact with that? And that's just because that's the inquiry for me, right? So I start this cleanse with that. It's like, okay, can I see it? I started noticing different things, and then the second layer is, okay, well, what else you got? And the mind then started to expand. And then last week I spent in what we call a beautiful state, where things would try. It's funny because things, this the old stories of not being enough, jump in the boat. This is just a relationship. This is a, I'm supposed to be fighting for my food here. Whatever it is that my mind tries to survive through, I notice the old programming. I allow it to play out. I recognize it. I allow it. I investigate it. I nurture it. I move it on. I let it pass through. And then I go into week four. And now I'm in week four. And that's purging and cultivating from a space of knowing. For me, it's knowing that that I am the primary creative force of my reality, that yes, I'm not God, but I'm not not God. And what does that mean? Not from a woo-woo perspective, but from a very practical perspective. So I am actively engaging in my relationships differently. And I've seen a softening. I see that I have less need, this purge to really prove anything. Like, I don't need to, I don't have to do that. And it's because I know that you're divine. And for me to be able to see your divinity, I have to be willing to look at my own, because I can't create a divinity in you and not come from within. I can't have love if you don't, you can't love somebody else without loving yourself. That's the beauty of it. It's like, there's people say you can't love something yourself, you don't love somebody else if you don't love yourself first. No, just love and it'll all fall into place. You know what I mean? So week four is about purging and cultivating and really allowing yourself to, now that you see what is possible, what if you oriented your reality from the axis mundi, from the center of now, knowing that you are exactly who you believe you are, and starting to, and maybe it's a hobby, maybe you pick up gardening. Maybe it's yoga, maybe it's a something that will allow me to cultivate the experience of this new awareness of who Stephen is, and continue to purge out anything that comes up as best I can that keeps me from being in this higher state, so that I can show up more divine for you, more new, throw that word out, right? We'll go to numinous. We can go to other than this tiny little shell that is Stephen. Because on my best day, I'm just a recovering narcissist. And on my worst day, I'm a deeply rooted, selfish 3-year-old that's ready to throw a fit in a grown-up man's body. And I know that. And so I want to cultivate more experiences where I don't have to come from that, because then we can be in relationship.
I would think authenticity might be a good word here, that you are finding the authentic you.
So interestingly enough, it's like when my work for the past 25 years has been going into the darkest holes that you could possibly imagine, and helping people, walking with people as they walked out. And I've dealt with the richest of the rich and the successful, and keeping them optimal. And it's the same technology. And this work has become something else. I mean, we are our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure, is something that we have to wrestle with. And we're moving too fast. The change, the velocity of change is sped up too great, to where we just come to a point in our reality where there's genius in there. And that genius, interestingly enough, is operating in shadow as well. I've grown in my work to see, I used to be to try to get rid of the shadow. I used to be to try to wrestle, fight the demon, like do the, like aim for the darkness. Like, it used to be Tron, Tron, Tron. You know what I mean? And now when I see the genius, when I see the shadow, I go that, like my book launch, when my book launched, Turning Within, when that launched, it the cover got messed up. And there's more, even more of the story that's uncovered since then, interestingly enough, just interesting little synchronicities. But the way that I face planted my launch was classic Stephen Tuig shadow. And when it happened, I am at the stage where I just was, it was like golf clap, fourth wall, great job. I can't believe that you screwed up as beautifully as you did. That was classic Stephen Tuig. I can see that now, not only myself, but in others, which I think is, it's like there's something right down there that's poking its head out. It's like it's waving its hand. And there's genius in us and every individual that's just poking its head trying to come out.
Well, and then learning, that so many people believe they have to be perfect. And
Yes, and it's perfectly imperfect.
right. And
Yes.
that's the key is, recognizing that perfection, number one, doesn't exist, even in nature. And it's the adaptability. It's the fact that we can look at ourselves with a sense of humor and recognize that we can adapt to almost any situation if we choose to do so. The 3-year-old would say, "No, I want it my way." But the person who is a little more evolved would say, "Well, let's see where this goes. Maybe this will be a new adventure."
Yeah, I went last year. My living inquiry. So, living inquiry is a strategic contemplation that a person holds on for a length of time. So, mental cleanse is a strategic. It's a strategic contemplation for a month. It said, what if you didn't argue with yourself for a month? Can you do it? Can you not have a negative thought for a month? Can you just allow yourself to set down for the month? That's what the mental cleanse is. It's really just that. It's real easy, and it's. Is I wanted it to be as simple as possible. You don't need anything. Can you go a month without complaining? If you just choose to decompress from no complaining, just that thought. And anytime you catch yourself deviating from that, come back to that thought. It will teach you something about yourself that can't be taught any other way. So I've evolved this practice to where now I'll hold on to a thought for an entire year just to see what it'll do. And last year's inquiry was to see, I wanted to not suffer. I was tired of, it's like our world, 87, the National Science Foundation suggests that 95% of your thoughts are repetitive. Like if you look back, you're just thinking the same thought. 87% of those are survival rooted attack thoughts, negative, awfulizing. They're making sure something gets done so I don't get eaten. It's got to make sure I do this thing or else. It's 87% of our thoughts, and everybody listening, go back and check. And so I wanted to see if I could, I wanted to drop that number, right? You can't. It's, I'm, it was very difficult because it was, then it got into the hero's journey, and I started to see this, the layering and the subtle, just brilliance of the coding of the mind that's built to create meaning through creating struggle. And thought, and what I realized was there's no way out of the struggle but death. Like at the end of the road, that's the ultimate struggle, right? We're all going to take one breath, not enough. We're all going to get that one last heartbeat. We all get that. And we all know that. The mind knows that. And it's trying to do anything but that, and it doesn't even want to think about that, but that's all it can think about, it seems like at times. And then it fractally reflects that onto the entire world. And so the goal here is to start to step away from that. So I noticed as I tried to step away from it, I noticed that I couldn't let go of that structure of, and so creating that next step where the flow of the went in story form, and I would go down into the, as a matter of fact, it got worse. The more I tried to not suffer, the worse the suffering got. It's like the beatings will continue until the morale improves. But what I learned was, and this is very clear, if you're just right now, if you're listening, if you're in a rough spot, just look at where you're at in your life. And let me ask you this question. Are you trying to survive this moment, or are you choosing to live in it? Because you don't get both. I can live this life, or I can survive it. And most of us, I think most of us, and most of, when I say most of us, I mean most of our programming, most of our programming is built around survive this life, and we're just not gonna. I'm just not gonna. And when I swallowed that pill, it's like now I get to live in it. So I have this short circuit now in my day where if I find myself wound up about something, it's like, am I trying to survive this? Are you gonna allow yourself to experience it? And when I do that, it doesn't take away the problem. What it does is it reorients my conscious awareness in such a way that gives me my power back. And I can't explain it any other way. It's a subjective, it's a subjective shortcut that anybody can take. Then anytime you find yourself in a struggle, ask yourself, are you trying to survive this? Or are you allowing yourself to live through it and experience it? When I do that, I go into the face of it. And when I'm in the face of it, I look around and the solution is usually right there in front of me. In any, and again, this is a subjective experience in the story called You that you're floating down. You have to kind of go into the face of it to see it. And so that's been powerful, which has led me to this year's, which is to see the divinity and have be able to interact with, like, really humbly, am I talking to something? Is there a divine interaction happening right now that I'm not aware of? And usually the answer is no, I'm not, because I'm human, and but I'm trying to get to it. And what that's done, Lucy, here's the thing. You're looking at a recovering narcissist. And let me rephrase that, a narcissist in recovery, because I am always and always coming through these two eyes, and these two eyes have seen some stuff, right? And so it's like, because of that, the filtering, I see it. It's very firm. It's this crazy part of me that needs to protect myself. My mom used to say, well, at least they can't eat you. Well, thanks, mom. Now I'm worried about that, right? And so it's like, I have that right there that I can see. And because I can see it, I can set it aside. And through that, and now this live new living inquiry, and I'm on purge and cultivate now. And so it's like this, I can see how my mind imagines. And what that means is, we have our first relationship with the self, which is me. I have to have my primary relationship starts here. You are your primary relationship. Nobody can separate you from you but you. And I imagine that me. And then when I imagine that me, I imagine how you interact with that imagining of me. And now that I see all of that, I know first awareness internal, second awareness external. I've reoriented, and I can see how when I look at you and I go in the divine and I take the perspective that you're sacred and believe it, like really believe it. Since I've oriented from that space, I see how my mind uses reorient, how it's recalibrating, and I don't find myself anticipating doom and gloom. And when I do, I'm not stuck in it. And why? Because I've done this process of stripping away at the consciousness. I've recalibrated the meaning that I stand on at such a 25 years. I'm starting to see this. I just find myself not having to operate from the same not good enough that if I can make my kids be okay, I'll be okay. If I can make my wife okay, I'll be okay. And realizing that they're never okay, the more I try to make them okay, the less okay they are. And now I can be in this space of loving them and allowing. Again, we go back to that projection piece. I'm not projecting my brokenness on the world, and I'm reflecting your brilliance, not projecting my lie. And so now I'm seeing your brilliance, and now through your brilliance, I'm now starting to see my own. And there's this really interesting dynamic at play as I move into going into what we call maintenance. So after you go through the first 4 weeks, then now you're maintaining this mind. You now have to maintain the structure that you're in here. And when I find myself dip, I'll just go through another cleanse, probably about every anywhere for 4 to 6 months, because we're in a very toxic environment. A sponge that's left in a muddy water
It's
needs to
muddy.
be wrung out. Like, sometimes the mind needs to be brainwashed. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we need a little brainwashing. And so this is the taking the mind out and noticing how we've unconsciously associated ourselves to meaning that doesn't serve us, and get rid of it.
No, that's very true. And another thing that I was thinking as you were talking is just getting people when they are under a lot of stress, from external as well as internal messages. If they just can get out in nature and take a deep breath, just I focus a lot on if I'm feeling tense, I find myself very subconsciously taking deep breaths.
Well,
And
you say that, and it's funny, because I was the anti. I was not that guy. Like, I was the guy who said, well, we should be able to do this without nature. You know what I mean? We shouldn't have to go to nature to unravel the mind from the thing that the mind used to ra but I here's what I find. I find, as I start to unravel, I find myself just naturally sitting in nature. It's weird. So it's like you found a shortcut. I had to go the long way around. It's like you sat, we were all there, you and I were sitting there looking at this giant oak. And I said, I'll be right back. I got to go get something. You go, where are you going? I got to go figure something out. I came back and I sat back down. You go, what'd you figure out? This is where I need to be sitting. Like it's very interesting in the way that it's kind of, I've come to the same awareness from a different perspective kind of thing.
I think when we can, work harmoniously, if you will, with our surroundings, whether it's our home, decluttering it, whether it's, planting flowers, whether it's walking in nature, that it all works together, energetically. This vibrational frequency that we have works with nature. Nature can give us a better frequency. And when we're in a better place with that vibrational frequency, then the world around us is also in a better place.
We did this one of the in the Living Consciously program, and you guys are all hearing as you're going online, you'll be the first people to actually see it because it's just I'm just now finishing the editing. It's not completely done yet. By the time this gets out, it'll be brand new. So check it out. If you go to mentalcleanse.masteringchange.com, click on courses, and one of the courses will be Living Consciously. You'll be the first to find it. But in there, we do a court, we do a piece on return of enchant to enchantment. And the homework assignment is to, so I have these little gnome, like I got one right there, that little gnome sitting there inside the, and that's an enchanting piece. It draws out the mind's desire to think of enchantment when it's sitting. When you go out in nature, you re we, the mind starts to return to wonder, starts to remember the fairies, and it starts to remember. And as I say that, I'm not trying to be woo-woo. I'm really not. Like it's not intentional. But when you get to the, when you walk around like I did, and I come right back to where you're at, and I start talking, and I'm talking in the same way that everybody else, it's like I don't understand it, how it is what it is. But if we, if I choose to give myself permission to wonder, and I choose to allow nature to return to enchantment, I start to hear the whisper of the wind. I start to feel the flow of the other day I was sitting out in my book, as a matter of fact, in my book, there's this talk about how this butterfly taught me the reason why I don't fly like a butterfly is because I beat myself up for being a bad dad. And I hold on to these not enoughs, and that's why I don't fly like a butterfly. And if I can let go of that, then maybe one day I'll be able to fly like the butterfly does as well. That's all. Like when you say that, you go, well, that's not true. You're never going to be a butterfly. No, not in this lifetime, I'm not. But think of the mind works in metaphor. It works in symbols. It's deeper down. It's not words, it's symbols. And now I see that the butterfly and the cocoon and the it all has some kind of in the structure of my mind, the ability to let go of my unconscious clinging to that I'm going to somehow screw up being a dad. And if I can let go of that a little more, my worry of it, I can just be dad. Then I show up in a way that's more, that's better. So it's like, well, so you want to hold on to your fantasy about you're somehow going to be a bad dad, or I could hold on to my fantasy that if I let go of that, I get to become a butterfly. And which one of them, it's like judge a tree by its fruit. I'd rather live in this fantasy world than the fantasy world that I was programmed to live in, which is somehow I'm going to screw this up and life is miserable. I'm just done with that today.
There is a book, and I don't know whether you ever read it to your kids, but it's called Hope for the Flowers.
Oh, that's a,
I'm
no,
gonna
I
write
have
that
not.
one down. The author's name is Trina Paulus, and I used it with therapy with my kids that I was working with for years, and it's still one of my favorites. And it's about Stripe and Yellow, and they're both caterpillars climbing a pillar of caterpillars, and nobody knew what was on the top. They just kept climbing and climbing and climbing, and they stepped on everybody, to get to the top. And sometimes they would fall and they would die. And so, Yellow, being the female, she decides there's a better way. And so she gets off the pillar, but Stripe, the male, is still going for it. And she goes and she, builds a cocoon and emerges as a yellow butterfly and goes back and finds Stripe. And so I won't tell you how it ends, but it's such a beautiful story
Is
about
it like a little
humanity.
storybook kind of thing?
It's a little paperback, with the artwork of the caterpillars and things in it. It's not like geared for 5-year-olds, but 5-year-olds can understand it if you read it to them. And
Very
another
true.
one that was a favorite for my kids that I read it to my son too, was The Giving Tree.
That one I've heard of. That
Yeah.
one I've heard of.
Hope for the Flowers is, I think it's hope for humanity. You know, that if we understand that concept of emerging from the cocoon that we're in, where we don't understand, and then to the knowledge where we are more enlightened as to what life is supposed to be. I think that
Beautiful.
works.
Yep.
Let everybody know, please, where you are. Our show is done for today, but I just think the concept of a mental cleanse is so amazing. And boy, everybody can benefit from doing it at least once a year. So where do we find you, Stephen?
Masteringchange.com, Masteringchange.com is the home base. The nonprofit, if you want to join our community, evolvingmindproject.com, come help us support the Evolving Mind, because there's a lot of work to do, a lot of chopping wood, carrying water. And in your favorite app store, if you just type Shadow Work app, it should pop right up, and you're looking for the Metatron, what we call a construct, which is the building block of your meaning. And if you never see me again, if you never hear my voice again, I love you.
We love you too.
Thank you very much.
We will please go out there and share this information with everyone that you know that you care about. Family, friend, doctor, nurse, whoever it might be that you think will benefit from understanding how to evolve into the next step of who they are supposed to be as humans. We are always evolving. And I will see you again, Stephen. So please go out there and make this your very best life. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.